Join me in Psalm 23, please. Psalm 23, as we continue our trek through this beautiful piece of literature, a beautiful psalm. And we are nearing the end. As you can see, we're looking at verses 5 and 6, actually verse 6 in the subject today. But to hear the infallible, inerrant, holy word of the living God. Psalm 23, 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I do pray the Lord's blessing on our time here in this text. When I came into the Reformed Church back in the mid-90s, Cottle Creek down in Mooresville, I learned something, one of the greatest aspects of the Christian faith that I had not known before. I learned of the sovereignty of God. And the aspect of the sovereignty of God that really struck me was the certainty, the assurance that we have in the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God means that His power and authority dominates and overwhelms. He is the supreme authority in all things. The sovereignty of God overwhelms the desires and will of man to accomplish His desires and purposes, for example, for our salvation. And it is His desire for my salvation that revealed that certainty, that assurance, that I could never lose that. I'd never known that before the mid-90s when I came into the Reformed faith. I'd never known before that an assurance of the love of God for me, for you, no matter the details. No matter the details. And folks, I've said this many times. When I learned that, it felt, I could almost hear the chains just falling off. Understanding the assurance and the certainty of a sovereign God. Assurance and certainty is what David speaks of here in verse 6 of Psalm 23. Again, verse 6, the first part of verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God revealing Himself the way He did over David's lifetime, and David learning really who God is, just as I did back in the mid-90s, brought a certainty, an assurance that David was securely seated at the Lord's table, as we've mentioned in previous sermons. And he knew all of the rewards, the blessings, the provisions that came by being in that most significant place. Here in verse 6, David begins closing this particular psalm. And he starts his closing by saying, surely. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is an emphatic, positive, assuring statement. Surely. And to be emphatic means to express in forceful speech or take decisive action, attracting a special attention. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. This is what David is doing, speaking of the assuredness he has in God. David is saying, given what I know, given what I've learned about God and what He has done and provided for me over my life, through all of the trials, through all of the failures, and through the accomplishments, surely He's going to continue and do even more. And what has God done for David to this point? Well, we could go back through all the Psalms. We could go back to 2 Samuel. We could go back to Chronicles and read all the stories of David, etc., etc. But we look here at this psalm alone and see what God has done for David. He begins, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Again, that directive, shall not. The simple fact that David knows Yahweh, knows God as his shepherd, his overseer, his caretaker, the provider, brings great comfort and assurance to David, just as it should you. He goes on, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads David to rest, and in that place of rest is ample provision. David goes wanting for nothing. That should be true for you as well. He says he leads me by still waters. He leads David to a place of peace. Now, David's life was not always peaceful. He's a man that had much, much blood on his hands. One of the reasons God would not let him build the temple. He said, you got too much blood on your hands. So there was not much peace in David's life. His family situation was not a peaceful place. Yet he writes here, he leads me by those still waters, those peaceful still waters. But here he's led to a place of peace, of healing, and continued rest, even in the midst of the turmoil that occupied much of his life. Given all of this, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In this psalm, we see a very close and inseparable bond between a shepherd and a sheep, and of late, that great king and that honored guest, an unbreakable bond that leads David to reinforce these truths in his mind and can make the statement as he's written here in verse 6. Given the actions of the shepherd toward his sheep and the king toward his guest, there should be no doubt that what is stated here is to be believed with solid assurance. And again, folks, back in the mid-90s when I learned that, it was life-changing. No matter how dark the valley, no matter how deep the canyons, no matter what trial, what situation, surely this goodness, surely this mercy will be forever extended toward the saints of God. The shepherd protecting his sheep, as we've seen in the first half of the psalm. The king providing for his honored guest, as we see in verse 5. His concern must never be doubted. His care should never be questioned. With certainty and assurance of the God's covenant love, his abundant goodness is firmly committed. That should never be questioned by any Christian. Now let's dig into these two statements, or these two aspects of that sureness. David states that Yahweh's goodness will follow him. He uses the Hebrew word which means beautiful or pleasant. God's beautifulness follows after me. God's pleasantness follows after me. It represents the attractive way in which God shows his love for his children. God is perfectly good in his character, and it is perfect in all of his actions. Therefore, he can do nothing else. His love and goodness for you is perfect because it comes from that perfect God. God's goodness means we get things we don't deserve. Many times we will hang that under grace and mercy. We don't get what we deserve, and we get other that we do. But goodness. Name me one aspect. Name me one individual that deserves the beautiful goodness of God. Not one. Psalm 100, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. God knows what is good for us better than we know ourselves. God's goodness is faithful, and it extends to all generations of those who call on him. However, let us not be confused. We need to understand that the promises of God's goodness does not mean we will have a problem-free life. Again, go back to David's life. Much of his life was in turmoil. We will not have a problem-free life as we enjoy the God's goodness. In John 16, Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Yes, he's overcome the world. He did not say he removed the tribulation, however. But we can win out over it as God's goodness follows us. In Psalm 23, David has needed his soul restored. The goodness of God has done that. He has needed direction. The goodness of God has done that. He has needed help with fear. And he has needed the assurance of God's presence with him always. Not everything in life is good, but God works in all things for the good. We know the passage in Romans 8, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. The Christian is called according to the purpose of God. And all things work together for the good of God's purposes. Now, that may mean a troubling life for us. But his goodness will follow the Christian always through the accomplishment of those purposes for which God has called us and given us. We go back to the beginning where we said surely. With the assurance of that and that word surely, again, the emphatic, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. All right, David adds another. He adds mercy. This is the unconditional steadfast love of God. This is the steadfast love of the good shepherd for his sheep. This is the steadfast love of that great king for his honored guest. Mercy. And he has this mercy towards all of those that he has drawn to himself. He's established his covenant demands. His covenant demands this type of care for his children. He loves them with his sovereign love, and that can never be diminished. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. As the psalmist writes, his steadfast love endures forever. God's mercy means he bases his actions in our lives on his loving kindness. Mercy simply is getting something you don't deserve. Grace is forgiving something that you've done. Mercy is giving you something you don't deserve. Do we deserve the steadfast love of God? Do we deserve his mercy? No. He has made an unconditional commitment to you based in his mercy. Because he's chosen to commit himself to you through that covenant. Remember the covenant he made with Abraham? He said that covenant would extend to all generations. Making that covenant with Abraham, it would be the same. He made it with you as well. God loves you just as you are. No. Let me rephrase that. God loves us despite who we are. Despite who we are. And he loves you. And thankfully, he loves me too much to let you stay where you are, or me stay where I was. He wants to change you. He wants to change your life, and he will. But when you make those changes and you grow in your sanctification, please understand, he will not love you more than he did before the change began. But that mercy extending to you, that goodness extending to you, grows you in the likeness of Christ. That's him changing you with his steadfast love. And it's, as John writes, God is love. And that love never changes. It can't change. God can't change. God don't change. His love don't change. We change. He desires us to change. As I've said, mercy is not getting what you deserve. And that mercy follows after you always. So we're always getting what we don't deserve. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, this is astounding. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That steadfast love, he loved you enough to make you his. We are sinners, deserving the penalty of everlasting separation from God. But he took the initiative, sent his son to die on the cross, resurrect and arise back into heaven. And at that appointed time, sent the Holy Spirit into your old nasty soul, in mine. And that mercy, something I didn't deserve, was given. And again, all of this is based in his covenant. All of this is foundational in the covenant that God made with his children. Mercy, grace, love are all here. We are saved by the blood of Christ on the cross. We do nothing. It is all of grace. And as Judy and I were talking about, and I think it's even in the chapter we're doing in Sunday school, the only thing I added in this beautiful act of salvation was my sin. That's the only thing I added. Again, mercy, getting what I do not deserve. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Again, David uses this word shall. We've said this time and again, that strong imperative word shall. It's mandatory. Goodness and mercy shall follow. It's a mandatory thing because it's based in God's love. From David's experience with the covenant-keeping God, he knows with great assurance that God's mercy, God's goodness will follow him, shall follow him, endlessly. And as I've said time and again, it goes back to the covenant. God can do no other than what he desires to do. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Remember back to the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus says, go out and baptize. And at the end of that, he said, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's basically the same thing God is saying to David in Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you. I will be with you always. Basically the same statement. Let's look at this word follow, because it can be misconstrued, misunderstood very easily. Follow, it's not a word we have a difficult time understanding. We use it all the time. Last week, our friend Charles was here. It's a special weekend for us, and he comes each time this year. And after the service, we went out to eat. Well, he didn't know where the restaurant was, and so he followed Tim Hager over to the restaurant. Now, here in Psalm 23, we could easily assume goodness and mercy following along behind us throughout the days of our lives. But that's not what this text is saying. The word we translate as follow is the Hebrew word meaning to pursue or to chase down with intent. You'd think the translators would use a different word than follow. Why not use the word pursue? I don't know. But notice this. It is to pursue with the intent. To chase down with intent. In other words, God's goodness and mercy, they're not just passively following along behind me going, oh, well, here he goes. Oh, well, no. No. They are chasing me. Pursuing you. They are actively pursuing. They are chasing us down like a lion hunting its prey. So the goodness and mercy of God are hunting after us. God is the hunter. The Christian is the prey. And there is no escape. There's no escape from his goodness and mercy. Again, the covenant. God said, I will be your God. And you will be my children. Strong statements. Strong statements. So when are we to expect God's goodness and mercy to pursue us? I think you know the answer to that. You look at the end of the first part of the verse. All the days of my life. All the days of my life. God's goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. They will be as me as long as I live on this earth. And again, back what I learned in the mid-90s of that incredible, assuring promise. That's what David is saying here. God's goodness and mercy is pursuing after you, and they're going to do it all the days of your life. Never backing off. One other thing I'd like to note about the entire psalm here, just briefly, is the intimacy with which David speaks. I think this might be one of the reasons we like Psalm 23 so much. At all the funerals that we do, Dr. Earle always does this psalm at the graveside. And he always prefaces it by saying, listen to the comforting words of Psalm 23. And I think one of the things that brings such a level of comfort is its intimacy. Listen to this. He speaks of it in a very personal term. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd, which would be technically correct. but he says he's my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He could have written, he restores souls. That would have been correct. But no, you bring that level of intimacy in here, and David is speaking of that level of intimacy he has with Yahweh that I pray we have as well. And here, God's goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of my life. Again, personal intimacy. They pursue me no matter the kind of day I'm having, whether it's discouraging, distressing, dangerous, delightful, days of close fellowship, it doesn't matter. His goodness and mercy are there, always pursuing after, chasing down with intent. This is a great psalm. David is speaking of his present days. He's also speaking of his future days. He speaks as one who is comforted and assured by the Lord. And I pray for everyone in this room that you find that same level of comfort, that same level of assurance, the same level of intimacy, because you could have written this psalm. You can speak this psalm as your own. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. No matter what problems we face, family issues, illnesses, secular issues, an immoral world around us, we can be sure of the provision and protection of the King. We can be sure of the protection and the love of a shepherd. Whatever David faced, he chose to have complete confidence in God, and he was confident in that goodness and mercy following him always. Today, through Jesus Christ, you too can have that confidence. So I pray that we would look to the Good Shepherd and look for his goodness and mercy. I pray that we would look to the King of our souls for his goodness and mercy, and realize that his goodness and mercy is going to pursue you until he meets you at the gates of heaven. It'll be there.